Okay. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 2. Actually, it's 2 Peter chapter 1, I thought. We're going to find out in just a moment. It is 2 Peter. Yes, 2 Peter chapter 1. I wanted to read this section. It's something that actually we looked at a few weeks ago and we considered again during family camp. But this is where I wanted to start. We're just going to kind of read it because I think most of us are pretty familiar with this record. And I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, "Yea, I think it meet or right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will be diligent, that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Verse 16. You know, this is something here, because Jesus Christ had showed Peter he was going to fall asleep. And I think this was brought up at family camp, that most men would be concerned about people's memory of them, about their legacy. And Peter's concern was that they would remember these things. That's something. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.' And this voice came from heaven, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." This is referring to that Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus Christ, the revelation was, his body was changed into that glorious body that he would have. I don't know exactly what they saw, but it was really bright. And then they heard that voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were eyewitness," or when we were with him in the Holy Mount. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." A better rendering of this verse, they kind of mixed up the sentences. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed in your hearts, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, and until the day dawn." That's something. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For it didn't come by the will of man, but it came as God spake." You do well. And this is what he was reminding them of and wanted to leave them with, knowing that shortly he would put off his tabernacle. "That you take heed in your hearts, as you would as unto a light that shines in a dark place." And I think that's a pretty good mental image. You know, if you're in real dark, or, you know, I remember one night at camp, it was early in the morning, it was like 5 in the morning, and I was walking, and it was dark, and there was super thick fog, because it had been humid that first day, and I couldn't even see the road. I couldn't see where to turn onto the main road. And so what I did was, is I just kind of went slow, got it, felt the road, and then I went for the light. And I just kept my eye on the light that was at the cafeteria. There was one light on, and that's what I walked toward. And I figured as long as I headed toward the light, I was good. You know, but you just, boom, you take heed. God's word. I want you to turn to Psalm 119. And this is something that it does us well to remember, to think about regarding the Word of God. We're so blessed to have what we have and to know what we know. Verse 127 of Psalm 119. The psalmist writes, "Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be what?
Right.
To be right." Isn't that something? All your precepts concerning all things to be right. "And I hate every false way." "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul," what?
Keeps
them. "The entrance of thy words gives light, and it gives understanding unto the simple." See, the entrance of thy words gives light. I esteem thy precepts concerning all things to be right. It's God's word. All things. All things. That's something. "And I hate every false way." And you know what? That's going to require some judgment. Isn't it? Yeah. Proper judgment. Judgment based on the Word of God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read a few more familiar verses here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Oh, let's just start in verse 1. Jeez Louise, there's so much in here. "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." See, literally it's to understand the words of understanding. That's what it means. Isn't that something? To understand the words of understanding. "To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity." That's the point. "To give subtlety or wisdom to the simple, the young man knowledge and discretion," that's sharpness or skillfulness. "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, the words of the wise and their dark sayings," the words of understanding, their riddle. What does that mean? Well, the fear or the reverence of the Lord is where it starts. It's the beginning of knowledge. "But fools," what? "They despise wisdom and instruction." That's right. You know, the world hates to hear that the word is right. They really do. And at times it drives them crazy. because you're being judgmental. You're being closed-minded. You're being mean. You're being vicious. Whenever I see that, I always think of this. The fool despises wisdom. And they hate it. They hate it. They don't just disagree. They despise it. Who do you think you are? You ever run into that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With God's word, we go in knowing that. It's okay. Wow. God's word's true. Instead of getting taken out by it. Wow. Yeah, God told me that. Isn't that something? That's right. Look at Proverbs. Proverbs 9. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. We're going to come back to Proverbs in a moment. After we read this. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is what? Is understanding. That's something. The knowledge of God is understanding. Okay. Well, where do we get that knowledge of God? We get it from God's word. You guys know this verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, okay, and of the joints and marrow, and is a, and the King James says, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But the word discerner is that word critic. The word of God is the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that's going to require some judgment, isn't it? Sure. And what that verse is so wonderfully saying, it's that I hold my heart up to the word of God. And now what does God's word say? See? And the wise man loves learning. Isn't that great? You know? Sometimes we tend to be defensive when it comes to people. We don't want to be defensive when it comes to God's word. You know? We want to be totally open with him whom we have to do. Because he sees anyway. You're not hiding anything. You might hide something from somebody, but you're not going to hide anything from God. See? You know, and that's another beautiful thing about building God's word. Is that you get to know this God of love and this God of grace. And that defensiveness, or that shame, or these things that sometimes hold us back or prevent us from, you know, holding our hearts up against God's word start to go away. Because God is grace. God is love. You were worth the life of his only son. Have you ever had one of your kids where they're kind of embarrassed when they're young? I'm talking when they're a little young. Might be a little different when they're older, but when they're young. You know, they did something, they screwed up, and they're embarrassed. You know, as a parent, you know, when I would have that happen, it wasn't like I was concerned about correcting their screw-up. I wanted to alleviate them of their embarrassment. Right? By just loving them. Well, I'm an idiot. God is love. Right? Absolutely. You know, David had that kind of heart. Well, he was willing to hold his heart up to God's word. You know? And when he messed up, he messed up, and he changed. See, it's really beautiful. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2. Verse 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the reverence or the fear of the Lord and find the what?
The knowledge.
And find the knowledge of God." You know, our relationship with God stems from His Word. Our relationship with God is as good as our relationship with His Word. That's a word I hear tossed around sometimes in Christian circles. Relationship. I don't even know how they're using it. But I know this. I know this. That it's the Word of God that makes known God. And without knowing God's Word, I don't know God. And so I wonder. I wonder. And when I wonder, I'm going to fill in gaps. It's just the nature of men. If I look at nature and say, there's God, great. But what's God like? Does He love? Is He mad? If He's nature, what are earthquakes all about? Maybe thunderstorms really are God bowling. I mean, I'm being facetious. But, you know, you come up with silly things when we don't know God's Word. Saints do this sometimes. You know, saints approach God sometimes as if He's judging them. Right? You know, these are things that, but we can know. We can know. We can read God's Word. And we can know who God is. We can know how He works, how He thinks, what He thinks of us, what He does, what He doesn't do. Those are great questions to have answered. See, rather than just filling in gaps. You know, wondering. You know, wondering, does God answer prayer? What does God say? I answer prayer. What He says. Isaiah 66. I think you guys know this verse, but it's pretty awesome. Verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. And where's the house that you build unto me? And where's the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this will I look." Not to this big house you want to build me, but to this will I look. "Even to him that is of a poor," meaning humble, "and a contrite spirit, and trembleth at what? At my word." All these great things that God, that men want to build to God. And what God is looking for, and what He looks at, is a man with a humble heart who is in awe of His Word. I mean, we could just close right there. We're done. See? That's how we approach God's Word. Let's go to back to Proverbs 6. We're almost done here. But it's just great to think about these things sometimes. Because, boy, the world, you know, we heard it in manifestations. You know, not to look to the world, not be afraid of the world. See? But to hide God's word in our heart. Because the world just chips away at that stuff. It really does. And it's always after God's word. It's after that simplicity that's in Christ. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. And when you go, it shall what? That word of God will keep talking to you. See, it'll just keep talking to you. Because you're building it where?
In your heart.
In your heart. And when you sleep, it'll keep you. It'll keep thee. Because it's in your heart. And when you wake, it'll what? It'll talk to you. Isn't that awesome? See, that's the word in the heart. It talks to you. It talks to you. As you live, as you walk, as you make decisions, as you are involved with people, you're working, or that word of God is talking to you. And in addition to that, we have the Spirit of God. See? And we have that absolute promise that He will work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, what are the ways there to live? You know, and then it says, thy word is a lamp. It's a lamp under your feet. I think that's what it says. Yeah, 23. For the commandment is a lamp. The law is light. See? And the reproofs of instruction are what? The way of life. It's a good life. Because, see, that reproof is coming from where? God's word. See, that which we're holding our heart up against. See? A God who is love, a God who is grace, a God who knows, a God who made us. He made all this stuff. He knows what's up. See? You remember earlier we read, thy precepts concerning all things. Their truth. See? I wanted to show you this, and then we're going to close in James. This is kind of neat. This is in Deuteronomy. This is a time where Moses was laying some things out. And although God didn't want them to do this, He knew they would. He knew the day would come when they would want a king. God wanted to be their king. And God led them. You know, God was their God. They were His people. But He knew that day would come. And in speaking of it here, near the end of Moses' life, God lays out one requirement. One for the king.
What chapter?
I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 17. Verse 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, you know, I'm going to set a king over me. I'm going to be like all the nations that are about me. That day did come, didn't it? Sure did. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee whom the Lord thy God shall choose. Okay, you're going to do this thing. This is how it's going to be done. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. And he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. Forasmuch as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be. Now this is what he's, you know, these are the things that he will not do. Here is what he's to do. And it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to reverence the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do him, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand nor to the left. Isn't that beautiful? That his heart be not lifted among his brethren. That he learn to reverence his God. That was the one thing the king was required to do. Isn't that something? So where does God place his word? You know, when you think about records in God's word, you know, like the record on the road to Emmaus. Here they are with the resurrection Christ. And even after they realized who he was, what they said was, did not our heart burn within us when he shared the scriptures? See, that's what brings deliverance. It's the scriptures. It's God's word. That's what does it. Believing comes by hearing. Hearing what? God's word. Reverence comes from God's word. Reverence. Hence, humility comes from God's word. That's why it's so well worth taking the time to spend reading God's word. We read God's word. And we may not understand everything we read. So what? So what? Don't get frustrated. Ask God and he'll show you. And if he doesn't right then, move on. So what? Look at poor Daniel. Yeah. I always think of that whenever I read something. It's like, I know there's something here. I ain't seeing it. You know, I just got to chuckle because here Daniel wrote the book of Daniel. He got the revelation. And he's like, okay, whoa, what does this mean? God says, Daniel, don't worry about it. You close the book up. You'll stand in your lot that day. You'll be there. Isn't that cool? And, you know, and I get uptight about not understanding something. See, kind of silly. James 1, and that's where we'll close. God's word. All your precepts are true concerning all things. What does the word say? You know, Steph brought that up earlier. We were talking, and he mentioned, you know, how we always used to say, I remember when we first got in the word, probably to a fault. Well, maybe not. But, you know, we'd always say, when somebody would say something, chapter and verse. Where is that in God's word? Where is that in God? Chapter and verse. Because people say a lot of things. Right? Mm-hmm. Say a lot of things. Chapter and verse. Where is that? Where does it say that? James chapter 1. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, in the context here, it's swift to hear. And in the context, we're going to see as to what it is that we are to be swift to hear. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness in verse 21 and superfluity of naughtiness. Great phrase. It's an abundance of ill will is what it means. And receive with what?
Meekness.
The engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save, to make whole your lives. Isn't that beautiful? The implanted word. You know, earlier we read in Proverbs, that word, it'll talk to you. It'll keep you when you sleep. It'll talk to you in the morning. It's implanted where? In your heart. You receive with meekness the implanted word. See? And then we live our lives holding our hearts up to that word of God. It's the way to live. It's a great life. It's a great life. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See? See, a hearer only is one who does not get the word into his heart. He's not holding his heart up to the word. He's enjoying maybe the hearing of it. He's enjoying the social aspect of things, perhaps, or the fellowship, or maybe just being loved. I mean, those are all wonderful things. But it's not God's word. See? It's God's word in the heart that will change a man. It's God's word in the heart that'll bring deliverance from the heart. That's genuine deliverance. Genuine change. See? It's not the being happy when I'm at fellowship. That's great. I love that. I mean, you know, I don't want you to be unhappy. No, that's a bummer. I'm at fellowship. I mean, that's not the point. But the point is that you're happy because of who you are in Christ. You're a happy hoper. See? Because of what's built in your heart. It's talking to you. It's talking to you. See? And that's where we want to be with God's word. And that's why it's so well worth taking the time to read God's word. Spend some time in God's word. Listen to teachings. That's great. You know, talking God's word. That's great. Those things are awesome. But take some time to read God's word. You know, when it's just quiet, think about a verse. Think about it. You know, read a verse. You know, it's God that opens the eyes of our understanding. What is that? Think about that. Spend a day chewing on that one. Or it's God that works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Chew on it. Let it mull. Think about it. What does that mean? It's amazing sometimes what you'll see. Because you're spending time in God's Word. You're meditating in God's Word. Isn't that beautiful? You may not have 3 hours in the morning. So what? 10 minutes. Take some time. Pick out a verse. You know, I'm going to think about that verse today. Or pick out a verse and maybe I'm going to do this today. I'm going to do this. See what happens. See? Writing that word on the tables of your heart. It's a great life. So, Father, thanks for your great faithfulness and for the word that you've given to us. And just for how awesome it is to know your heart. And just to be able to see some of these things and to have your word to stand on, to believe, to go to rely on. And the Father, knowing that it keeps our hearts. It talks to us. And the Father, you work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you for these great yet simple truths. And the Father, we can grow in them, grow in your grace, grow in our knowledge and in our appreciation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name, Father, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.